David Cruz in for Brian Lehr this morning. Imagine a glowing glass orb that changes color to remind you of things like emails or the temperature or how much you're paying for your electricity. It sounds a little like a Star Trek set piece, but it's a real-life device that just might change the world. Clive Thompson wrote an article for Wired magazine on the so-called energy orb, and he's here to talk with us about it. Clive, welcome to WNYC.
How are you doing?
All right, so what is an energy orb?
Well, basically, it's a little glass orb that's filled with LEDs, so it can glow any color. And these were customized by an electrical utility in California, and handed out as a test to about 1,000 consumers. And what they did was they changed color based on the energy usage of the grid. So if a lot of people were using energy and the energy prices were temporarily spiking, it would sort of glow like red. And if on the other hand, the very few people were using electricity and the grid was being underused and the prices were cheap, it would glow green. And essentially what happened is very subconsciously, by doing this in the corner of people's attention, people used less electricity because they would see that when it was glowing red, that they were getting billed an arm and a leg for electricity, and they would shut devices off. And gradually, over a few weeks, they cut their energy usage by 40%.
So what's the size of this thing? I mean, it's the size of a softball, maybe? Or
yeah, no, actually, I think it's more like a 5-pin bowling ball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like about that size.
Okay, and so how does it actually work?
Well, the way it works is it's got a little radio chip in it, so it can receive pager messages, same way that a pager received messages. And so these devices are made by a company called Ambient Devices, and you can customize them in different ways. So essentially what happened is that the utility would gather its information about the grid and broadcast it over pager networks to all these orbs. And so their idea is if it worked with a small test bed of people, imagine what it would be like if you had everyone with one of these in their houses, all cutting their energy usage by about 40%. You'd get enormous savings.
What is ambient information?
Ambient information, that's a concept came out of information theory. It was based on the idea that, okay, when you stare at your computer screen, it's shoving all this information at you. You have to look at it, look at this dialog box, look at this email, and you get really overwhelmed. And so ambient information is a sort of movement of the last 10 years, saying that, actually the best way to get people to pay attention to information is not to shove it at them in a screen that they have to stare at, but just to broadcast it very subtly in out the corner of their eye in some little device that they just glance at every once in a while, like a wall clock or the way that a speedometer works in a car. You don't stare at it. In fact, you often very seldom look straight at it. It's just there in the corner of your eye, and it lets you know in a very subtle and non-intrusive way how fast you're going. So that's the idea about ambient information. It's persistent information that's always there, but it's never really demanding your attention. And it does a much, much better job at changing your behavior by working in the periphery, in the corner of your eye, as it were.
Questions for Clive Thompson. You can call us right now at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Do you have an orb working for you in your home? It's 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So these orbs can be used for a number of things, but you were talking about a specific example about how the ambient information helped people reduce energy usage.
Yeah, that's right. And so one of the orb is one of them. There's a couple other devices coming on the market like this. There's a British bunch of designers in Britain. They created something called the Watson. It's very sort of these things are all very beautiful little things. Something you'd sort of want to have in your apartment.
Yeah.
And the Watson is very much like it. It glows different colors based on how expensive the energy is, and it's got these little numbers in the top, very beautiful sort of Art Deco like numbers that show you your overall energy usage for like the day or the month or the year, and that's also really interesting information.
And so you take some action depending on what the color.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, think of it this way: why do we not conserve energy? Because it's invisible. Because we can't see it, right?
Yeah.
Particularly electricity. You get your bill once a month, but that doesn't really change your behavior very much. So it's only by making energy visible in some way, by allowing us to sort of see it on a moment by moment basis, that we actually start to change the way we relate to it and the way we use it. That's a concept here. Make energy visible.
And you talk in your piece about where it's actually done that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some other examples, right? I mean, this whole energy orb thing, this whole Watson thing, that's the latest concept, taking it to the home. But there's a lot of previous examples, like the Toyota Prius. Have you ever driven a Prius before?
I have not. No.
Okay. So the first thing you notice when you get inside a Prius is that there's this cool little dashboard, a little screen. And when you start driving, it shows you like a little kind of X-ray of your car, you know?
Right.
And it shows you whether you're using gas to power it or whether, like, for example, when you're braking, your wheels are producing energy. So you sort of see the energy ecosystem of your car, whether you're producing or consuming energy. And it also shows you on a second-by-second updated basis how good your mileage is. And what happens is that anyone who drives a Prius notices that after the first day or so, they get kind of fascinated by this in the corner of their eye, and they wind up, it's almost like a game. You try and figure out how to drive to maximize your mileage, you know?
So it forces you to react almost subconsciously.
Yeah. No, exactly. It becomes sort of a fun game. It's like, oh, I noticed that when I brake more gradually, instead of coming to a jackrabbit stop, I generate more electricity in my braking, right?
Yeah.
So you start braking like that, and you see your mileage go higher, and you start realizing, okay, if I sort of drive in this type of way, and I did this, you know, for a couple of days with a hybrid, and it was really a gas. It becomes very addictive, and it becomes part of your behavior, and it permanently changes it. And so that's another example of where if you show people what their energy usage is doing, but show it in a very non-intrusive way, they will adapt their behavior.
Karen from Montclair is joining us on the line, has a question about how much these might cost. Karen, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. I have been listening to the program, and I love the whole concept of the orb. But my question is, what would it cost for me to have it in my home or my office?
Well, the orbs themselves are pretty expensive. I think they're like about $100-$150. So they're pricey. They've mostly been sold to monitor things like stock portfolios, for example. Like people will buy one and they'll set up it to monitor their stock portfolio. It'll sort of glow red if things are going really badly, or glow green if things are going well. And but the company that makes the orbs, Ambient Devices, has also made a new little device. It's much cheaper. I think it's maybe. Might be like $30. It's called a Joule, as in the energy Joule, J-O-U-L-E. Mm. And you plug that. That's just a little sort of pretty little, almost like a pendant that you plug directly into a plug, and it monitors your energy and shows you the same stuff the orb does. So it's smaller, and it sort of sits inside the plug, but it does exactly what the orb does for a fraction of the cost.
Will you also receive the sort of beep information?
Yep. Yeah. The Joule has all sorts of stuff. It glows depending on the grid usage, and it shows you numbers of exactly how much energy you'll be using that day or that month or that year. It's a great little device. In fact, some cities have started. You should check with your city. Where do you live? You live in
Montclair.
Montclair. Okay. So I don't know if it's gotten there yet, but here in New York, they've actually started I think they bought a whole bunch, and they're giving out a cut rate to anyone who asks for one. So some cities are even realizing that they should just buy these things en masse and hand them out, almost the way that they subsidize low power light bulbs. So if this idea takes off, it could be something that cities sort of roll out on a subsidized basis, which could be quite interesting.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Clive Thompson is our guest. He wrote an article for Wired magazine on the energy orb. We have a question on the chat box here. It says, orb has been put into use by an electric company in California, as you said. And the question is, do you see it being adopted by other power companies?
At the moment, I haven't seen any other ones, although I know that this idea of allowing people to monitor energy usage is very much current amongst energy utilities, because a lot of them are very concerned about the state of their grid. A lot of them have. I mean, this idea came to California first because, of course, California's grid is horribly overtaxed. Right. That's a whole rolling blackout problem back in the Enron days. But almost all grids in seriously populated areas are facing this problem. New York is, I know their utilities are very concerned about this. That's why they started the pilot program with the Juul. So I think you saw a lot of innovation coming out of California because it's almost crisis level for them. But it's quite the situation is quite significant in most heavily populated areas. I'll bet are looking carefully at this type of stuff.
All right, John in Glen Rock is joining us on the phone. John, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. I'm interested in the orb, and I like the idea. But what what your guest brought up by, I guess the orb idea was, is the orb really telling the consumer that they'll save money, or will the energy provider save money? Because I'm out in the suburbs, and they read our meter once a month, and whatever that meter says, that's what I pay.
Yeah,
it's not a time thing. Is this saying? Is the energy company then saying, okay, if we're able to cut our energy usage, we'll pass that on to the consumer?
Yeah. No, you raise a good point. Exactly who's saving money. In the California situation, the consumer was saving money because the situation in California was such that their grid is so overtaxed that they're spending so much money on maintenance that they'd rather have it be more regular. They'd rather ease those peaks and encourage usage during cheap hours. So in that situation, what's good for the utility is good for the customer also. That may not be the situation with all utilities. Some utilities, you know, might not like this idea because they sort of want you using electricity in peak hours and make more money.
Follow-up question?
Go ahead, John.
Is there such a thing, because I like the technology, where we could somehow figure out where the lowest price gas station is by gas stations sending out pagers as you drive along, you could see green, red, and more importantly, or I guess more facetiously, is there a way I can let my wife know that I'm really angry so she could look at the orb and know how to deal with it?
Depends on the size of your forehead, John. If it gets really red.
Yeah, exactly. That's the ultimate ambient device, your face.
Right.
You know,
is there a way to sort of monitor, you know, fuel prices?
Well, you know, actually, I don't think any of the ambient devices made by the ambient themselves do that. But I did notice a story today in the New York Times business section that was talking about a bunch of the people that run the sort of little Garmin-like GPS devices in your cars. They're working a lot harder at trying to plug it into real-time information, including things like the price of gas, including things like traffic, so you don't sit there idling and wasting all your gas. I think that's really interesting, too, because if you started to broadcast more information to drivers, particularly with regards to traffic, because, I mean, like, traffic is such a classic lose-lose situation. Nobody wants to be stuck in traffic. And when you're stuck in traffic, you burn a lot more fuel and produce a lot more greenhouse gases. So the more sort of self-aware you can make highway traffic, the better you could run it, theoretically. That's another area where a lot more information could do a lot of good.
Some have suggested that an even more effective tool would be making your energy use visible to others, sort of a peer pressure thing.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. This is psychologists call this the sentinel effect. It's just like when, you know, dieters are encouraged to, you know, tell their friends what their goals are so that their friends can help watch out that they don't overeat, et cetera, or AA when you have your sponsor.
Right.
If you broadcast what your goals and what your behavior is, it's easier for your peers to monitor it. So one of the ideas is, this is sort of a fanciful idea that comes with the with that Watson device in the UK, is that you can go, it'll broadcast your personal energy usage in your home online, and you can go online and you can see all the thousands or hundreds of thousands or however many different Watson users and see, you know, it's almost like a video game, you know, top scoreboard. Who's reduced their energy usage the most, you know? Then, again, in a Prius way, it becomes sort of a motivatingly fun game, you know? And you could also, the other sort of fun thing about broadcasting your energy decrease is that if you were to actually get a couple million people all broadcasting online how much they've decreased their energy, it seems more significant because, you know, you reduce your own energy use by like some small amount. It doesn't seem like you're doing much. But if you can see that a million people have all done the same thing, and you can see that you've just collectively just reduced, you know, energy usage by the equivalent of four or five, you know, like heavily populated states, that starts to seem more significant.
I could just see, you know, a Bluetooth device that you wear on your lapel that's coordinated with your orb at home, and if it's glowing green, you're green.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you could use it as sort of the ultimate eco fashion statement. You know, I'm broadcasting my carbon footprint. As here at the bar, to try and pick people up.
Wow, you look kind of green.
Exactly.
Carbonfootprint.com sort of does something similar, does it not, in terms of posting?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly. The funny thing, the thing that I think people find so interesting about this orb thing that I wrote about is that we're at this inflection point in our understanding of energy matters, whereby everyone is actually hungry for a little more information about what they're doing. You know, this is where you find people sort of fascinated by the idea of the concept of a carbon. Well, what is my carbon footprint? What's a carbon footprint for the pair of jeans I just bought? You know, or the backlash against bottled water right now, where people are saying, wait a minute, you can get water out of the tap here in the U.S. Why are we buying this stuff when it's easily replaceable at no carbon cost? Right. So I think that people are hungry now for more information, and we're probably going to see more things ranging from serious to playful to try and address this.
All right, let me get Rose from Bergen County in here. Rose, welcome to WNYC.
Yes, great program. My question is there radiation involved in this orb?
No, good question. But no, it's just a regular, like, it's regular radio waves. So, you know, if you've got a radio in your home, it does the same thing as that. Just picks it up, you know, via radio waves. So they're completely safe.
All right, Clive, where can I get one of these?
Well, the one for monitoring energy usage, if you want to get the Joule, you could go online to ambientdevices.com. And order one from there, ambientdevices.com. If you want, they also have the orbs, although the orbs themselves, you won't be able to get them to monitor energy just yet because that was a special pilot program. But you can buy a Joule that does the same thing.
All right. Clive Thompson is a writer for Wired magazine. Thanks so much for joining us today, Clive.
Take care. See you then. Bye.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Back right after this.